resource and give you the ability to change your state of mind and raise your confidence when you need it, I want to give you the chance to visualize this internal power shift and the huge difference it can make in your life. Profiles in Courage, Two Heroes. Carol Stinson let the villain run her life, in no small part because she had grown up extremely poor in Philadelphia. Then she eventually moved to a not-so-pleasant area in New Jersey. She summarized her philosophy this way. The poor stay poor, the rich get richer, they have advantages no one else does. But it wasn't just her upbringing that allowed the villain to dominate her thoughts and her life. As an adult, she encountered one hardship after the next. Her husband lost his job during one of the toughest economic periods in American history, instilling even more negativity and supporting the villain's cause. She was raising 5 children of her own, plus 2 grandchildren. The youngest was a special needs child. Some days, all they could afford to eat was peanut butter, and their electricity was turned off because of non-payment of bills. She told me she would wake up and immediately feel fear and panic because in New Jersey, if your electric is shut off, CPS, Child Protective Services, could take your children. So you probably understand why Carol told me the following. When you're from the wrong side of the tracks, this is what you believe is the lot in life you were dealt. You're supposed to live in poverty. You're supposed to live in scarcity. You have envy and disdain for those with money because you feel, somehow, if they're making money, they must be robbing it from us. And of course it was really easy to assign blame. It's the economy, the president, rich people, smart people, and 100 other scapegoats that encourage self-doubt and feelings of hopelessness. This happens when you resort to thinking, this is what we have. We create change when we desire to have more, and this desire is powerful and deep. But we can also create change when we hit rock bottom. Let's hope the second option is never the reason you have to make a shift, and you decide you want more. Carol, for instance, was running out of time, money, and excuses. With her residence in foreclosure, no money, and the pantry empty, she did something completely out of the ordinary for her. She bought one of my books with her last few dollars. She went against her family, her husband, and even her own inner voice to do so. And yes, I gave her strategies to make money. I gave her business ideas. But Carol told me that as she read, she kept saying to herself, "This can't be true. This isn't what I've believed for so long." But it started to make sense to her, and she realized that the negative stories she was telling herself were lies. Based on reading about my personal journey, doing the exercises, and being inspired by the examples, she started changing her own thoughts, her success habits, and her story. Carol knew the villain had been in charge of her entire adult life, and nothing good had come of it. She was brave enough to awaken her inner hero and allow that to be her new guiding force. She realized that she didn't need a college degree, that she didn't have to come from the right side of the tracks. She didn't need money to go into business. She also realized how blessed she was to be raising 7 children, have a great husband, and the opportunities in front of her. She saw that if she changed her habits, told herself new stories, and let the hero be in charge, everything could change. And boy, did it. With these realizations, Carol no longer blamed the economy or fate or anything else for her struggles. Instead, she took control, and when she did so, everyone around her thought she was crazy. She insisted she could be wealthy. She was sure she could do more. She thought she could take on the world. Well, guess what? When she started thinking that way, she drove the inner hero to be stronger and stronger. Carol not only started her own company, she generated hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and she got her family out of foreclosure. She bought a new house and a new car. She took her kids school shopping in malls where they had never shopped before and on vacations that they had only dreamt about. She even changed the destiny of her family by putting her children through college. Today, Carol Stinson looks 20 years younger than she did when I first met her. She is a strong, amazing, vibrant, highly respected businesswoman who's changed the destiny of her family forever, and not just financially. She's teaching them how to be different people by growing up with different habits and letting the hero be in control of their lives, tapping into their full potential and not leaving it up to chance, not going to their deathbed and saying, "Wow, there could have been more." No, there won't be any "could have been more" conversations for Carol. I have no doubt that Spitfire, that amazing woman, will go to her deathbed knowing that she was all she could be, and then some. Think about the simple definition starting this chapter. Think about Carol's inner hero and its heroic qualities. Confidence, courage, taking responsibility. And another success habit that Carol exemplified was that she simply stopped focusing on what was wrong and started the routine of focusing on solutions. And that's where the villain and hero are so different. When people invest energy in blame, in figuring out why someone got a terrible disease, in obsessing about whose fault it was they didn't get the promotion or the raise, or why the partner stole their money, or why their first business didn't work, they allow the villain to be in charge. As big or small as the circumstance is, when you can accept that it simply happened and start looking forward to how you can create the best possible outcome, this is when everything changes. This is when you allow your hero to shine. Let me share another example so this truth will really sink in. You may have heard of J.J. Virgin, the creator of the Virgin Diet and multiple New York Times bestsellers, among many other great accomplishments. But what you might not know is not that many years ago, a car hit her son Grant while he was walking home, and the driver fled the scene, leaving him for dead. In fact, Grant was alive, but barely. He had 13 broken bones, and that wasn't the worst of it, because of the serious head trauma and likelihood of irreversible brain damage. The doctors didn't think he would survive, but added that if he lived, he would probably not be able to walk, talk, or communicate coherently. As of this writing, PBS is currently doing a documentary on JJ and Grant and the journey they went through together after this tragic event. They asked to interview me for the documentary, and of course I said yes. I was unsure of what they wanted from me, but was honored and delighted at the chance to support JJ and Grant or add value where I could. One of the questions they posed was, what did I think was the best way to get through a traumatic experience such as the one that had befallen JJ and her son? What instantly came to mind and exited my mouth before I could even filter it was, focus on the best outcome and try not to waste energy on why it happened and who is to blame. Now that may seem naive, given the circumstances and the tragedy in this case. But is it? I went on to explain my thoughts, but as I did, I realized that JJ acted in a way that focused on the best outcome. She, of course, went through all the emotions that we would as a parent getting that call. But as quickly as she could, she got obsessed with Grant not only surviving, but having the chance to live a normal life. She refused to accept what the doctors told her and Grant. When the doctors were not in alignment with her ideal outcome, she loaded Grant into a helicopter and, against just about everyone's advice, took him to another hospital more aligned with that outcome and better able to deal with Grant's situation. She did what she had to. Made cold calls, knocked on doors, was forceful when necessary, and got the best possible people to help Grant. JJ found a vision, focused on solutions, and let the hero take over and nothing got in her way. When I was talking to the documentary interviewer about all of this, she stopped me when I was almost done and said, "So the way you are answering, I'm guessing that you don't know that JJ didn't seek legal action against the hit-and-run driver. In fact, she never even spoke about her." I had no idea, but I wasn't shocked. It would have been so easy to place blame and expend energy on revenge. Others might have tried to get the driver prosecuted in the criminal courts, and if that didn't work, sue her for everything she had. JJ could have hated her, and rightfully so, given what happened to her little boy. Instead, she realized that revenge would do Grant no good and that we only have a certain amount of energy to put forth in the world. She knew what direction her energy needed to go and focused on the solution with laser intensity. She let the inner hero be in control rather than the villain. Your inner hero can't stop things from going wrong. It can't prevent tragedies. But if you let it emerge, it can turn even the worst possible trauma you've gone through into a building block for a better life. It can help you generate energy from whatever challenge you face and use it to achieve the life you deserve. This isn't about being glad if something goes wrong so you can learn from it. We don't want bad things in our lives, but the fact is they happen. So if they are going to happen, who do you want in charge? I think you are getting it. The hero focuses on solutions. And I'm happy to tell you that Grant didn't just live, but has thrived. Because of his fighting spirit and his mom's focus on the best possible outcome, Grant is working every day towards a bigger, better life for himself. JJ's new book, The Miracle Mindset, will be out about the same time as this one, and it's about the journey she and Grant have been on and the lessons we can all learn from their experience. So now you have a better idea of what the inner hero looks like. We need to examine how you can develop the confidence to put that hero in control. The four C's of confidence. Let's take a look back to a time in your life when you lacked confidence and it cost you dearly. Have you ever wanted to ask a girl out on a date or talk to a guy you saw at a coffee shop? and you let that person walk away without saying a word. Have you ever had an opportunity to tackle a tough project at work or the desire to start your own business, but just couldn't move past the thought to the action? Or make it even simpler, have you refused to walk into the gym because you thought you were too out of shape to be there? I've seen a lack of confidence destroy many people, and it usually happens when their confidence is just that 5% off that I noted previously. So when has a lack of confidence hurt you in the past? And how do you think your life would be different today if you had been able to summon 100% confidence on the spot and do what you wanted to do? A great man and a dear friend by the name of Richard Rossi runs a remarkable company in Washington, D.C., creating empowering live events tailored to high-achieving high school students. They receive life-changing knowledge by attending. When I was talking to Richard about his events, I said, "You've been blessed to see so many successful high school kids come through your program. If you could identify one common trait they all have, what would it be?" He said, "I don't even have to think about it. It's one word, confidence." He added, "It's not the smartest kids or the ones with the straight A's that become the superstars. It's the ones that have an incredible amount of confidence that go on to do amazing things in their lives." Richard's words don't come from theory, but real-life data, derived from experience and results. He's seen thousands of the most successful young adults in the country pass through his doors, and the word he used for success was simply confidence. But here is the million-dollar question. Think back to a time when your confidence surged because of something amazing that happened. Maybe you did something in your job, or at home, or in the gym that had you look in the mirror and subconsciously pound your chest and say, "Yeah, I did that." In that moment, you got a glimpse of what the power of an instant surge of confidence can do to your state of mind. As you know by now, I didn't have much confidence as a child. I was the smallest kid in my class. I couldn't read very well. I couldn't sit still. And I got made fun of a lot. So as I got older, I had to learn to manufacture my own confidence. Through trial and error, as well as with the assistance of some amazing people, I've learned how to build this bulletproof confidence from the ground up. You can do the same. But first you have to understand the myth of confidence. Could some people have been born with it? Maybe in rare cases, but it's unlikely. In most cases, confidence is something that has to be learned. You're probably fooling yourself if you think of yourself as the confident type or the not confident type. Both are part of the myth. No matter what level of confidence you have, let me assure you there is more waiting to be accessed. Let's start building your confidence to the next level by using a great lesson that I was taught by a mentor of mine, Dan Sullivan, owner of Strategic Coach. This is a four-step process that helps you discover what real confidence looks like and the ingredients needed to get there. The first step, or I guess I should say the first C in these steps, is courage. All confidence, all change, and all new things start with courage. When somebody bungee jumps for the first time, it's not confidence that gets them to jump off the ledge, it's courage. Let's take a deeper look at this quality, since it will help us understand how confidence emerges from it. Courage is walking through a door and not knowing what is on the other side. Courage makes you get off the bench, raise your hand, and get in the game rather than judging or envying from the sidelines. Maybe you don't realize it yet, but you have already built the courage muscles in your life. Do you have children? You have to be extremely courageous to bring children into the world and take care of them. You didn't know, and perhaps still don't know, what the end result would be, but you jumped in and you are learning as you go. Courage is something we all have inside of us, even if it is hidden. So if you want the courage to do something, recall your seven levels deep and find your why. This is where that core habit comes into play once again. Taking action is possible when true purpose is recognized. Think of all we have learned to this point. When you have a vision, clarity, and don't let old stories hold you back, the ability to be courageous grows exponentially. So focus on where you want to go and your new story. Pull your shoulders back, stick out your chest, and say, "This is my time." Be courageous and go for it. It all begins with that first step. Now the second C is commitment. You've already shown commitment by listening to this book and engaging in the exercises I've recommended. You're committed to a personal transformation, since any significant change requires a commitment. If you want to lose weight, you have to commit to that, otherwise you'll fail. If you want to start a new job, you have to commit to that, otherwise you'll fail. Or look at this second C, commitment, from the opposite perspective. Have you ever been successful in something in which you were not committed? Whether it was a relationship, a new business, or even a new diet? Heck no. If you want more wealth and that next level of life, then you're going to have to commit to it. That doesn't mean you have to devote every waking second to achievement of a single goal. But don't dabble. A shaky commitment means shaky confidence. So when you have the courage to take action and the commitment to see it through to the end, you're halfway to confidence. The third C is capabilities. What are you acquiring by listening to these pages and developing success habits? Capabilities. Remember when we talked about where you are, being honest with yourself, figuring out where you want to go, and how you are going to get there? In most cases, you need to acquire specific capabilities to achieve your goals. If you want to be great at rock climbing, read a book from an expert rock climber, or take a course, or hire someone as a mentor. If you fail to take these actions and lack the knowledge to execute them properly, you will lose your courage to keep going and not commit to seeing it through. You will get frustrated and overwhelmed. So get a roadmap from the right person or source whenever possible. While this may seem like a no-brainer, don't you know people who get excited about something and think trial and error is the best approach? Then they hit a few roadblocks or challenges, feel defeated, and stop trying to reach their goals. With the right capabilities, on the other hand, you can spot the obstacles and know how to get around them. You can also access the path that will take you where you want to go faster and obtain the results you desire. You see, once you have those first three C's and take action, you finally reach the fourth C, and that is confidence. Your confidence then starts to naturally grow. You just can't help it. Think about each C separately and how it has given you a shot of confidence at different points in your life. Have you ever been afraid of doing something new like dancing in front of people, ziplining, or public speaking? Maybe you were scared to death before taking action, right? You were probably obsessing over what could go wrong, but you finally just did what you had to do. That was courage. Then after the experience ended, how did you feel? Exactly. You felt amazing and that you could easily do it again. How about commitment? You can dabble for years in a relationship or your business. Then, all of a sudden, one day, because of your kids, or because of your desire for more, or some other motivator, you commit and your life takes off. Consider capabilities. When you are in the dark about something, it seems so confusing. Have you ever tried to download and use a new app on your phone without any guidance? Have you ever wanted to learn a new language or learn an instrument and quickly grew frustrated when you weren't sure if you were moving forward in the right way? But once you acquired the capabilities, you read the instructions, saw an online video, hired a coach or teacher, the activity became second nature to you after some practice. When you align the three prior C's to achieve one goal and one outcome, your confidence will skyrocket. Hence the four C's to confidence. When the four C's are in place and your confidence rises, the hero inside of you isn't being suppressed by negativity or bad stories. Your self-doubt and inner resistance fades away and the real you is in charge. What's cool about you? No matter how strong you are, no matter how much you evolve, your confidence can still take a hit. And if you're going to reach your full potential, you must protect your confidence as you are protecting millions of dollars in a vault. So when life knocks your confidence down, you need the tools to boost it back up fast. That's what we're going to spend time on right now. Let me ask you this. What's cool about you? A crazy sounding question, and perhaps a difficult one to answer. But don't diminish the value of asking yourself this question regardless of the level at which you perceive your life to be. The first time I did this exercise, I was with Sean Stevenson, a 3-foot-tall giant. Look him up if you don't know who he is. Sean is an incredible man who has accomplished more than most, despite adversities most of us could never imagine. I was talking with Sean about an obstacle I was dealing with, and Sean said, "Let's write down what's cool about you." I responded, "What? Dude, let's talk tactics to fix the problem at hand and not try and feed my ego." And boy, I was completely wrong there. Looking back now, I realized that he had noticed my confidence was down and he was trying to boost it back up. So trust me, let's do this exercise together. So go ahead and start thinking of the things that are cool about you. One thing I know to be true is that when life gets stressful, we focus often on what we failed at, or what we've not accomplished, or the mistakes we've made. We tend to forget all the things that we've done really well. So this is the time to ignore the failures and think of the wins. When Sean first asked what was cool about me, I was scratching my head. He called me out because of my reaction. He knew I was focusing on what was going wrong at the time, and it took me a moment to think of what was cool about me. Like the great teacher he was, he started probing, suggesting examples of coolness to get me started. And slowly my answers emerged. I wrote down things like, I put my kids first over work and accomplishments. I was in special education classes and barely graduated high school, yet I'm a multiple New York Times best-selling author. I can operate a bulldozer and a backhoe. I learned how when I used to build houses. I was a mechanic when I was younger, and I can take apart an engine, fix a banged-up fender, and paint a car. I donate money without anyone knowing. I create simple messages to get people to take action in their lives. I was the New England State Snowmobile Grass Drag Champion in my 20s. I still have my best friend from fifth grade. I always try to show the people I love what they mean to me. I can solve problems without conflict arising, even when someone wants to be confrontational. I am good on camera after years of practice. I've met some of my heroes. The list went on and on. Once I really started thinking about how I was cool, the items started to flow. Now think about what you can put on your list. Feel free to download the easy-to-follow cool list on www.thebetterlife.com under the Book Resource tab. Get creative and include unusual skills you may have, as well as accomplishments. Your list should include anything that you like about yourself that has a coolness factor. Maybe you're a great friend, or you have great fashion sense, or you're generous to the needy. Whatever these traits or achievements may be, write them down. What is cool about your job, your business, or how you treat your employees? What about the daughter or son you are to your parents? The parent you work so hard to be for your kids, or the partner you are in your relationship? Even though I don't know what's cool about you, I do know with little thought that you will find plenty of items to list. And after you write them down, take a moment, be silent, and read what you wrote and let the list sink in. When I did this exercise, I remember thinking, wow, there are a lot of cool things about me. I have a lot of unique abilities, and I've accomplished some ambitious goals. After completing the exercise with Sean, I remember my confidence grew immediately just by acknowledging my successes rather than my failures. Just as I shared all the little pieces that created the villain within, now I am sharing the pieces that will replace that villain's voice and put the inner hero in control. When Sean first said, do a what's cool about me exercise, I was like, waste of time. Doing it felt odd. I was wrong though, and if you experienced the same negative thoughts for even a second, you were wrong too. Take the time and reflect. You are not only cool, you have already achieved so much more than you give yourself credit for. A tale of two pictures. This next exercise may seem like a little work, but with effort comes results. And it's an exercise that will help you trigger an instant confidence boost anytime you need it. You can download the blueprint at www.thebetterlife.com under the Book Resources tab. Start by finding an unflattering picture of yourself. It can be a digital image on your smartphone or an old photo you've stored in a shoebox. It could be from a time in your life when you were overweight, just pulled an all-nighter, were broke, lost a job, or you just looked like crap on the day the photo was taken. This picture is going to represent the version of you that is letting the villain control your life. If it's a digital image, print it and also save it to your computer. Then I want you to create a list of the negative traits you associate with this version of yourself. For instance, I was fat. I was messing up at work. I just had my heart broken. I was really mad at my sister. I was focusing on all the things wrong in my life. I blamed others for my problems, and so on. You see, those are the traits that have fueled your inner villain, allowed it to be in control, and absolutely demolished your confidence. Imagine how the person in that picture is letting the villain run his or her life and steal confidence. The villain is constantly saying, we're not going to be able to pay the rent. Our career is not progressing. We're not financially successful. We'll never be rich. Why should we even get out of bed in the morning? That's the definition of someone living with a scarcity mindset and limited confidence. Now attach negative emotions to that unflattering picture of yourself. Were you angry, sad, depressed, embarrassed, ashamed, insecure, and so on? Then I want you to name that person. Maybe you name that person the nickname you hated as a kid, or make one up that you would never like. But whatever it is, make it an unflattering name. Next, take it one step further and create a complete avatar of that negative version of yourself. What are the limiting beliefs and habits of this version of you? What do you stand for in this form? What do you accept as a given in your life? Who wants to be around this person? Even if you've evolved since then, focus on the version of you that you observe in the photo, the outdated version of what you are. Describe that person in the picture, the one not reaching his or her full potential. We are halfway done with this exercise. To complete it, find a picture of the happy you, the joyous you, the best you. It could be from a time when you felt great and you looked your best. It could be from the time when you were the shining hero, or the top earner, or just completely alive. Now describe in writing what attributes the hero version of you has. Is that person vibrant, powerful, energetic, wealthy, financially secure, a business owner, in control of his or her money, alive, passionate, enthusiastic, and strong? Does that person exercise regularly, eat right, and have an incredible relationship with his or her children? Does this version of you make a lot of money? Is he or she financially independent? Do others respect this person? Then I want you to name your heroic persona. Maybe you borrow a term from the digital world and call yourself John 4.0 or Mary 5.0. Next, create another avatar, only this time the hero version. What are your limitless beliefs and newly adopted millionaire habits? What does this version of you stand for? What do you accept in your life now? What will you absolutely not accept? Who wants to be around this heroic avatar? This version of you is officially the new version of you. Just explain you, living at your full potential, no boundaries, no judgment, totally in control. Who is the real you when the hero is in charge? Realize this truth. The two versions of you aren't separate people. Each of us has the good wolf and the bad wolf living inside, the old you and the new you, the villain in control versus the hero in charge. I bring up the wolf analogy for a reason. This is your chance to decide which one you feed, since that's the one who will take ownership in your life. Next, put your two pictures side by side, along with the text descriptions of both underneath them. Use your phone to photograph these images so you have access to them anytime you want or need to see them. Memorize the two avatars, both visually and what they stand for. Don't just rely on the digital image. Place the two photos, or print out the one on your phone, on your refrigerator, in your drawer at work, or on your computer as your screensaver. Keep these images handy because you're going to use them as your trigger whenever you need to require strength and whenever you need to summon your confidence. In order for this to work, feel your avatar. You must become the new heroic version of yourself. Whenever something is going wrong and you find yourself getting into a negative state and you're allowing that villain to creep in, look at these two pictures and say, do I want to be that old version of myself that lets life control me? Or do I want to be the new hero version of me? Can you start to feel who the inner hero is? The inner hero is the you that God meant you to be. You're crossing limitless boundaries and utilizing all the gifts you have to reach another level. The inner hero is simply you at full potential with nothing being suppressed anymore. Power phrase. Here's another habit to change your state of mind and build your confidence instantly. Tony Robbins taught this exercise to me and many other great lessons over 15 years ago, and it transformed my life. I have adopted my own version of this specific practice since then, but it was a lifesaver when I learned it. Over a decade ago, I had everything go sideways at once, or so it seemed. I had an accountant steal a lot of money from me that literally compromised my ability to stay in business. My grandmother, who raised me for much of my childhood and was my favorite person in the world, was in a hospice, dying. My biggest stream of income at the time stopped overnight, and this is just the short list. I was telling myself horrible things and digging up old limiting beliefs. I started thinking, maybe I'm not smart enough to run a business at this level. Maybe I got lucky and my time is up. I was telling myself all these negative things, and it was destroying my confidence and feeding my inner villain. But I changed my state of mind, and I changed it completely. And the one thing that sparked that change was Tony's incantation and what I termed my personal power phrase. I started saying to myself, if I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. I said it repeatedly. I said it out loud as I would walk around the house or around the office. I said it walking to the gym in the morning and when I was on the treadmill. I said it louder and louder and with more conviction until my soul felt it. This simple little phrase empowered my life like I could have never imagined. It energized my cells. It got me into a state of mind where I felt I could handle anything. I stopped thinking about what could go wrong and focused on what could go right. It allowed me to kick the old villain to the curb when he was trying to move back into my life. No way was I going to let that happen with my new power phrase. I felt the inner hero take over my soul. I started using other power phrases to empower my life from that moment on and have never stopped. It's funny that Tony gave me this gift 15 years ago in one of his courses. At the time, I wrote in my journal, Someday I will thank Tony in person, and he and I will do business together. So now, fast forward 15 years, and I'm backstage getting ready to inspire 15,000 energized and amazing Chinese people in Shanghai. And guess who I was there with? Yes, Tony Robbins, who is now one of my dearest friends. I was getting ready to follow Tony on stage, and about 10 minutes before I was scheduled to go on, I got incredibly nervous. I started to question myself and my abilities. I became anxious about letting Tony down, as well as the other 15,000 people who were there. But guess what I used to turn this situation around? Nothing more than what Tony taught me 15 years earlier through his course. I started walking around backstage repeating a power phrase that I had used a few times before when I had to speak in public. I was literally walking around saying it over and over, and with more intensity each time. I command my subconscious to use my God-given, unique ability to impact, empower, and transform the lives of the people who are here today. I repeated it until my confidence grew, fear subsided, and then the inner hero kicked in and I got goosebumps up and down my arms and my face from the amazing experience. Then Tony said my name and called me onto the stage. After Tony gave me a huge bear hug, I was ready to light up that crowd, and that's exactly what I did. Your power phrase can ignite your inner hero, and it doesn't kind of work. It works 100% when you use it this way. What power phrases can you create to help you with whatever it is that you want to overcome or accomplish? What can you say to yourself anytime you feel the villain emerging to make you feel small and weak? What phrase can you say to get the inner hero back in charge? Maybe it's something similar to one of the phrases I use. Nothing can stop me. I've been through way worse. Or it could be something like, I'll never give up because my family deserves the best me. Whatever it is, keep it active in your mind, ready to be implemented at a moment's notice. Write your power phrases in a handy, accessible place right now. What could be your phrase as you're walking into an important meeting and you're a little nervous and need a confidence and strength boost? How about speaking with a spouse about something critical in your relationship or when talking with your kids about a difficult subject? Is there a phrase you can use before talking to employees or your employer about a tense topic? Once you find the power phrases that fit you, pick one and say it out loud over and over again in a private setting, walking in the woods or around the house by yourself, when driving in your car alone. Don't just say it, but feel each word. Do it until you feel the energy in your body change, your state of mind shift, and the hero take control. This is you living at your full potential. No boundaries, no judgment, totally in control. Don't be embarrassed. No one is watching. Your state of mind and your confidence are vitally important to your next level of success, wealth, and joy. I've never met anyone who had limited confidence and still had massive success. On the contrary, all the billionaires, millionaires, happy and successful people I've met not only had a vision of where they were going and an empowering story, but they also had the ability to manufacture confidence and change their state of mind on demand. That means they are letting their inner heroes run their lives rather than the scared, dream-stealing villains. Now you, too, possess the tools to create confidence when it's needed most. This chapter was designed to put the final dagger in the villain's heart and allow the best part of you, your inner hero, to be in control. Now you have the tools and knowledge to do that. Remember, this transformation doesn't happen by practicing once or twice, just like one or two killer workouts at the gym won't get you the body of an Adonis. The more you practice, the more these shifts in your life will become your new habits and routines. You will see that you can handle life in a totally different way, and success will flow to the hero that's you. To help make that happen, let's drill down to the one thing that could help you create the wealth, abundance, and self-reliance on the next level to which you aspire. Chapter 6. One Shining Goal. Most of the millionaire success habits that can transform your income, your wealth, your happiness, and your life I learned through 25 years of being an entrepreneur, as well as from some of the most successful people on the planet. These habits will help you acquire wealth that is not just abundant with money, but abundant with all things this wonderful life has to offer. In this chapter, I want to go deeper into your next level of wealth opportunity. Whether it involves pursuing a career, starting your own business, or inventing the next level of you. In this busy world, we can be overwhelmed by opportunities and choices and end up doing nothing other than standing still. You are listening to this because you want that next level of wealth, and I'm guessing you already have an idea of the direction you need to go to accomplish that goal. Maybe you've just been scared to take action, or maybe you're trying to find exactly what that action could be. So in this chapter, I'll help you determine the exact route you should take for your personal abundance and wealth creation. Warren Buffett is quoted as saying, "The difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything." So let's dig in and define what should be a yes in your life and what may be best left as a no. At the same time, I'm going to help you avoid the mistake of saying no because of an I can't do something mindset. There truly is nothing you can't do when you have the right habits and confidence in place. I also want to dedicate this chapter to one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan. His commitment to serve others and help them achieve their full potential through his incredible company, Strategic Coach, have given me the many amazing tools and exercises you are about to encounter. Dan has worked and trained top entrepreneurs from around the world for over 40 years and has made a significant impact on my life. Thanks for the guidance and the gifts, Dan. These tools are not only powerful, they have helped me tackle new projects and clear my thinking so I could create many successful enterprises. Your magic list. Right now I want to do an exercise that will help you accomplish two things. First, it will help you discover what you should not be doing. Secondly, it will open your eyes to the opportunity that truly is aligned with who you are and help bring you bigger checks. You can grab this exercise and share it with friends and family at www.thebetterlife.com under the Book Resources tab. First, answer this question. What do you love to do? What fires you up? What makes your heart come alive, puts a smile on your face, raises your confidence? Do you love negotiating deals? Do you love helping people? Do you love solving complicated problems? Do you love math, science, art, or literature? Do you love taking risks? Do you love being adventurous? Do you love solving conflict? Do you love selling? Do you love marketing and advertising? Do you love inventing? Take a moment and think about what it is you love to do. So many times in life we forget what we love because we get stuck in the mundane day to day and we forget our passions. Make a list of 5 or 6 things that light you up. Next, think about what you're really good at. If you weren't in the room and your best friends, coworkers, or employees were talking about you, what would they say you were good at? Would they say you could walk into a room when there's a problem and solve it? Would they say you're meticulous, someone who measures twice and cuts once? Would they say that you have an ability to try something new, and that while you're a risk taker, you're an educated risk taker? Maybe you're good at solving problems, creating ideas, developing ideas, or putting processes in place. I don't know what you're good at, but you do. Write down what comes to mind. Next, we need to talk about money, and big money at that. What thing in your life, if you just took action on it, would bring you the biggest check? Is it advancing the career that you are in, starting your own business, or taking the business you are in to the next level? It could be getting a promotion at your current job. Maybe it's getting a loan or hiring a marketing expert to help you create more sales in your business. Whatever it is, what one thing will cut you the biggest check in your life? Think it through and write down what it is. Next, list your money goals. Earlier, you formalized your goals with the exercise, where are you? Where do you want to go? So where do you want to go with your finances? Take that earlier list and implement it here, making it specific to your income. Is there a certain amount of money you want to accumulate so you can retire earlier, help your parents, and protect your family? Where do you want to live? How much do you want to spend on a residence in a given area? How much does your dream home cost? Do you want to work for yourself? And if so, what is your revenue target? Do you want to have more employees? And how much revenue do you need to make to afford them? Do you want to sell your company? And if so, for how much? Then I want you to think about what actions you need to start taking today to move these goals forward. The action or step can be, and in many cases should be, small, but you must take a step in that direction to generate momentum. Like General Creighton Abrams Jr. explained, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And how do you run a 100-mile race? One step at a time. How do you take your finances to that next level? Start a new business, get a new career, obtain a promotion at work, or advance your company, with one step at a time, and that can start today. So what are the actions that you have to take? What emails do you have to send? What negative people do you have to start pushing out of your life? What people do you need to attract into your life? What do you have to say no to? Write it all down. So far, you have made a list of tasks that you love to do, skills or areas that you're good at, activities that will cut you the biggest check, your financial goals, and action steps you need to take to move towards these goals. Yes, this exercise can relate to any part of your life, but we're sticking with money right now. Lastly, I want you to take a long, hard look at all the items on your list. Whatever is not on them most likely needs to go on your Make More Money What Not to Do list. A not-to-do list is probably more crucial to your success than a to-do list. This powerful success habit will open up time and bring you clarity on a new level. So what should go on your not-to-do list because it fails to serve your future or helps you become the best possible you? To help you identify what should go on your not-to-do list, here are some common examples. Hanging out with friends for a couple of days a week that are negative and bring you down. Jumping online to pay a bill and ending up surfing the web, reading gossip, watching negative news, and wasting hours of your life. Procrastinating on your new business because you don't have the clarity of exactly what to do first. Spending too much time on the couch, too much time at the gym, yes, it's possible, or too much time bickering with people over pointless matters. Mowing your lawn weekly, or some other time-consuming but mundane activity, when you could pay somebody to do it and use that time and energy to achieve your bigger goals. This is your laundry list of things eating up your time. It's a crucial list of things you cannot do if you want more wealth in your life. So get your not-to-do list written and memorized so you can spot when you start doing things that are not serving your higher self. Once you have your not-to-do list crafted, here's an extra bonus step. Next to each item on the list, write one of the five things. Eliminate, automate, outsource, delegate, replace. For instance, look at the previous example, answer number 2. Jumping online to pay a bill and ending up surfing the web, reading gossip, watching negative news, and wasting hours of your life. You might do the following. Automate all bill paying. Take a few hours and set up auto pay or delegate someone in your family or possibly an employee to handle all bills and check them once a month. For online surfing, you might write, eliminate, or replace with positive, uplifting messages that fuel my goals and my why. The wrong habits are much easier to change when you have a plan to bump out and replace what is not serving you with the things that can empower you. This gives you the tool to figure out the best course of action to get rid of the not-to-do list items and replace them with empowering success habits. I've met zero entrepreneurs who are billionaires or multimillionaires that hate what they do. They all do things that they love and stuff that they are good at, which fuels their passion. They all have figured out what can cut them the biggest checks. They have goals and they know where they are going. Lastly, every day they take action steps toward their goals and aspirations. The more you do that, the more you can realize what is on your not-to-do list and you can start to eliminate the areas of your life that don't drive you forward in your business and don't drive you toward that next level of income. I told you in the beginning of this book that I don't have a magic money machine. However, you might, and in most cases you do. To activate that machine, cut out what you shouldn't be doing. I love the phrase, I'd rather give a B-level opportunity to an A player than an A-level opportunity to a B or C player. You have the ability to be that A player. You have opportunity after opportunity at your feet to take your life, your wealth, your abundance to the next level. How? By focusing on staying away from your not-to-do list and gravitating towards your to-do list. Pushing past the fear. Next levels are always scary. To go from kindergarten to first grade is scary. Going from 8th grade to high school is scary. Graduating 12th grade and making your way to college is scary. It's scary dating someone new. Scary getting engaged. Scary getting married. Scary having kids. Buying a first house. Starting a new job. Starting a new life. Meeting new friends. Or even just riding a bike when you're 3. You get my point. Every change, every next level is scary. But we have our biggest breakthroughs when we push through the scary changes, don't we? Our next level is always on the other side of an obstacle and always on the other side of a challenge. The people who are afraid to go through the challenge are the ones that stay stuck in their lives. How many people do you know who were rising in their careers, whose incomes were increasing and were becoming happier, and then they hit a wall? Maybe they encountered an obstacle they couldn't get around or a challenge that they didn't know how to meet. More likely, their fear of the obstacle or challenge stopped them in their tracks. What they didn't realize is that their next level of life was most likely right on the other side of whatever barrier caused them to become stuck in place. So let's do the DOS. So how do you overcome the fear of starting your own business, advancing your career, getting a promotion, or taking your business to the next level? You have a couple of options. One way is the DOS conversation. It stands for Dangers, Opportunities, Strengths. This is one of those exercises I learned many years ago from Dan Sullivan, and that's why this chapter is dedicated to him. I've altered this exercise from Dan's original concept so that it suits our purposes here. Here's how it works. To do this exercise, you can go to www.thebetterlife.com and use the DOS worksheet. However, if you just want to create your own worksheet, make three columns with one small line at the top for DOS headers. Then on the header line, write dangers on the left, opportunities in the middle, and strengths on the right. Across the very top of the page, write your financial goal. It could be something like starting an online trading business that does $100,000 in profit year one. Whatever it is, it needs to be specifically yours. Now I want you to think of all the dangers and all the fears that you have regarding the goal you have set for yourself. Is the danger that you don't have money to start? Is it that there's too much competition? Is it that you feel maybe you're not smart enough? Do you worry that you may not have the support from your family? Do you fear that if you focus on money, maybe you'll become a different person? Whatever your dangers and fears are, list all of them right now and think about what stands in your way of reaching your goal. This will allow you to visualize the fears that are paralyzing you from taking action, the exact things that are holding you back from starting or expanding a business, or even simply making more money. Next, go to the opportunities column and shift your mindset, thinking nothing but optimistic thoughts. What are the opportunities that you have by creating this business? What are the things that drive you and excite you about the goal that's written across the header? Is it a niche market where you know you could do great? Will it give you the security, the freedom, and the time with your family that you're looking for? Would it allow you to finally reinvent yourself, get out of the job you dislike, take your company to the next level, and finally make more income? Just thinking about these opportunities should excite you. So you found the dangers, you found the opportunities, now I want to move on to your strengths. What are the strengths you possess that could help you achieve your goal? Borrow from the What's Cool About Me section we did previously, or create new ones that are just business related. Maybe you're a great manager of people or a great problem solver. Maybe you're an action taker and people look up to you for that. Perhaps you're skilled at acquiring knowledge and turning it into wisdom. As someone who sought out and is listening to this book, this is likely one of your strengths. Maybe you're a follow-through person and never procrastinate. Or maybe you're a quick learner. You read something, absorb the lesson, and can put your knowledge into practice. You read something, absorb the lesson, and can then put your knowledge into practice. Now you have a crystal clear list of your dangers, your opportunities, and your strengths. That's the power of this exercise. You get to see that, yes, some dangers exist, but that's the price of growth, both here and in all areas of life. But I hope this exercise helps you see in one glance, on one piece of paper, that your opportunities and your strengths will usually outweigh the dangers. Stand with pride, say it out loud, and maybe even pound your chest and say, "No way am I going to let those hold me back from the opportunity to evolve my life and my finances." Do you want those opportunities to die, or even worse, miss your chance to pounce on them like you may have missed them in the past? Heck no. You truly have so many options to live your true purpose. The opportunity to make more money, protect your family, and live the life you desire is now. Carpe diem. Seize the moment. The UA Unique Ability Circle. Now that you have one specific goal in mind that can cut you the biggest check and take you to that next level of wealth and prosperity, we must find out how you can make the time to take actions towards that goal, as well as what specific areas of your life best serve that goal. And the way to do this is by creating your Unique Ability Circle. Unique Ability, and much of what I share here, is once again a wonderful brainchild of Dan Sullivan. You can create your own UA circle by following the directions that follow, or get your copy at www.thebetterlife.com under the Book Resources tab. Take a piece of paper and draw a small circle in the center of the page. Then draw three more circles around it, creating three rings. In the middle of the first circle, write the words, Unique Ability. I'll explain this in more detail soon. In the next ring, write excellent. In the next ring, write good. Then in the last ring, write stink. So what do these circles represent? In the bullseye is your unique ability, which is the thing or things in this world that you are naturally amazing at. Things that put you in a flow, make you the most money, and cause you to feel the best doing them. As you move outward on the circle, you start getting away from those things that can grow your life and income the fastest, and end up focusing on things that keep you doing busy work. It's like running on a treadmill and getting nowhere. To understand how this is so, let's take a deeper look at the unique ability section. Your unique ability is your financial sweet spot. It confers the capacity to make the most money you possibly can. When you're in your unique ability circle, you may be able to make $500 an hour, $1,000 an hour, or even $2,000 an hour. Whatever that number is, when you're doing the thing that you love, the thing that you were put on this earth to do, that is when you will receive the biggest check. I look at my time from a return on my investment perspective, which is an incredible success habit to have. For example, I pay for different people to do different things for me that are not in my own unique ability circle. There's no reason I should mow my lawn when, not only can I pay someone else to do it and free up my time to work in my unique ability, I also help the economy, giving other people the chance to make money. While someone else is mowing my lawn and landscaping my yard, I can be working in my unique ability. I get a significant return on my investment and make multiples per hour what it costs me to have my grass mowed. The return on investment of your time when you focus on your unique ability can be huge. Here's a quick story that will drive home this point. When I was younger and was investing in real estate for the first time, I decided to put energy, effort, and the little money I had into an old rundown mansion and convert it into 9 small apartments. After this project was complete, it was time for upkeep and maintenance. It had a massive front lawn, and mowing it took me many hours every Saturday. So one day I hired someone for $50 to do it for me. That same day my dad happened to stop by to say hi, and when he saw someone else mowing the lawn and when he found out I paid $50 for this service, he completely flipped his lid. He said, "I can't believe you, paying someone to do something you could do yourself." He said, "You are going to go broke. You are not too good to mow your own lawn." Given that this was my father's story at the time, his response makes perfect sense. Born during the Depression, amid lots of scarcity, had fostered this way of thinking. He didn't like borrowing money. He did everything he could himself and managed his affairs the old school way, which unfortunately hindered his opportunity to make great money. He is smart as heck and a hard worker, but that wasn't enough. His story kept him anchored to an income that never rose above $30,000 a year, no matter how hard he worked. He was on a treadmill for many years. Luckily, I got him off of it. He has changed in a massive way since then, but at the moment he was darn mad. He left so fast in his car that the tires spun gravel all over the yard as he peeled out, not even saying goodbye. I was upset my dad was mad at me, but I realized how wrong he was. That lawn at that big old apartment complex used to take me a half day to mow. At that period of my life, I was fixing wrecked cars and selling them, while also looking for and negotiating on my next real estate deal. And in that same half day that I paid $50 for someone to mow the lawn, I could fix or even sell a car, or I could put together a real estate deal that would make me far more than $50. My time for that half day fixing and selling cars was worth $500 to $1,000, maybe even more. So when you can pay someone to do something that you are not good at, or pay for something to be done by somebody else and create a return on investment on what you pay, then you can concentrate on the things that make you the most money. I've carried this ideal with me for my whole life. Some people may look from the outside and say, "Well, Dean, you have money. You can easily hire people to do things." But I realize now, looking back, that I hired people to do the things I sucked at even when I didn't have much money at all. I knew from a young age that if I could hire a personal assistant to book my travel, to pick up my dry cleaning, to buy me groceries, to get my house taken care of, then I could work in my unique ability zone and make the most money possible. This yielded the best return on investment. When I first hired an assistant, I finally found the time to work on the things I'm excellent at, the unique things that are in my unique ability circle. Eventually, this philosophy helped me focus on speaking on stage, writing books, educating others, doing bigger real estate deals, and meeting people to do deals with. In turn, these activities helped my businesses flourish. This unique ability approach is especially relevant in today's world where you have interns and virtual assistants who will work for pennies on the dollar for the experience. In fact, I'll give you a list of companies that provide virtual assistants that are incredible and can do small projects for you. They will free you to work on the things that are in the inner ring of your unique ability circle. This list can be found at www.thebetterlife.com under the Book Resources tab. Think about how you spend your time. What things can you say no to that are not in your unique ability circle that will then allow you to say yes to the things that make you feel the best and can make you the most money? Because I promise you, when you learn to say no to things that don't take your wealth to that next level, you will find yourself accomplishing your income goals faster than imagined. So if you took the time, and I hope you did, to create the visual circle or went to our website and grabbed the worksheet, start filling it in. What do you think are your unique abilities? Then start to progress to the other rings. What are you excellent at? What are you good at? And then what do you stink at? You can also label the hourly rate you anticipate for each item you list. As Dan Sullivan teaches, the UA circle is designed to be peeled away like an onion. Each week, each month, and each year you're peeling away one layer at a time. And these outer layers are the things you shouldn't be doing. Eventually, you'll end up at the core of the onion, which has the things you should be doing. This is the exercise that can allow you to have more hours in a day, make more money by working fewer hours, and align you with the things you were meant to be doing. The gap. Now that you understand the value of working in your area of unique ability, you will see how much easier and smoother the ride can be when you are working in and on things that ignite passion and bigger checks. In theory, you wouldn't ever again fall into a funk or feel insecure. Oh, how I wish it were that easy. As much as I hope this is true, I know that we all fall into a funk at one point or another. We all will have self-doubt and think we're not good enough. Most of us relapse, thinking that we're not living up to our full potential and that we can't do something. And because I know this to be true, I want to go through an exercise that Dan calls the gap. The gap is the funk we all fall into and the funk that stops us dead in our tracks. And it's not about if it's going to happen. It's about when and then how fast you can rebound when it does. Did I ever fail? Absolutely. I failed a ton in my life, but the thing I did best was that I failed fast and I had a quick rebound rate. And there is a way that you can strategically get out of your funk quickly and back on track using a tactical process that will become a habit. Let's face it, we constantly chase an ideal, or even more commonly, perfection. We are chasing the perfect finances, perfect body, perfect parent, perfect spouse, perfection in all aspects of ourselves. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're hitting the gym and looking good, you stop and realize you're not spending enough time with your wife or husband and you criticize yourself for neglecting this person you love. Or your relationship is great in so many areas, but you hate your job, or you're not making enough money, and you give yourself a hard time about this failing. Or you're making all the money in the world, but you're not the parent you always wished you could be, and you beat yourself up over it. And why is this? We all have major accomplishments in our lives, but when is the last time you celebrated one of them? When's the last time you did something that was a goal of yours, and you stopped and let it sink in, congratulating yourself? When was the last time you said, I'm going to do something in the next 90 days. And you did it and you rewarded yourself. I bet you haven't done these things in a very long time. In our culture and society, when we complete our goals, we immediately look to the next thing we haven't accomplished. Maybe you got a promotion or started your own business in the last year. You should be celebrating. But instead you respond to this achievement by saying, yeah, but I neglected my kids. I need to work on my relationship with my kids more. Then you get a relationship going with your kids and you look down and you notice you're a bit overweight and you say, yeah, I'm closer with my kids, but now look at my gut. We start creating this imaginary perfect person in our minds and we're always falling short of it and it immediately puts us in the gap. It's like we are all stuck chasing the sunset. No matter how fast you go west, you can never catch the sunset. The same holds true with trying to reach this imaginary perfect person state. We are chasing an impossible task and setting ourselves up for disappointment and depression. I want you to think about it this way. When we compare ourselves against our imagined perfect selves, we will always come up short. When we compare ourselves to the perceptions we have of others, we lose confidence and we start to fall into a funk. We start saying things like, I could never have a family as loving and perfect as my neighbors. Or we say things like, I may be making the money I want, but it's not as much as John or Mary is making. And in most cases, we don't know what's happening in other people's lives and what they are dealing with behind closed doors. So who are we to use them as a role model when we don't know the facts? It's just a habit many people fall into, and it sets us up to feel less capable, successful, happy, wealthy, and wise than John or Mary. So whether the funk comes from comparing ourselves to the perfect us or someone else, here's how you get out of this comparative hole fast and effectively. First, look at where you are.